right, let me invite you tonight over to the book of Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. Daniel chapter 5, verse 22.
Daniel chapter 5, verse 22 reads this way. It says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, we call upon you to guide us with your Holy Spirit this evening, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, that our hearts would be drawn closer to you and to one another. And Lord, that you would be glorified and our lives blessed, that we might also be the witnesses that you've called us to be, beginning in our own families and church family and to the whole world. And we'll be careful again to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this evening is simply "The Problem with Pride." The problem with pride. And I want you to see two things here as we get started here. And that is verse 22. Notice what it says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." So don't think he's ignorant in this matter. He knew all these things that Daniel was speaking of. And notice something else here as we look at this text here. Look at the bottom of verse 23. At the very end there, he says, "And the God in whose hand thy breath is." Remember, we say even God holds the next heartbeat in his hand. Well, there's Bible to back it up. Amen. We don't just pull that out of the air. The next breath that we take, the next heartbeat that we have, is in the very hands of God. Now, to the child of God that's in right fellowship with the Lord, that ought to be a blessing, that we know that, listen, we cannot perish until it's our time. God holds everything in his hands, especially our very next breath and the very next heartbeat, and so we can walk with confidence. Tonight I want to take a look at some things here concerning pride, and specifically, if pride is not dealt with, it will always bring with it four things that we're going to look at tonight. The first thing is bad and deadly choices. Pride will always bring with it bad and deadly choices. Secondly, pride will bring fear and trouble. Fear and trouble. Thirdly, pride will bring with it a false hope of resolution without repentance. If there's no repentance, pride will think that this will be resolved. We'll fix this up. And then lastly, pride will always bring judgment. Will always bring judgment. So back up with me here to verse 1 and look at these bad and deadly choices. And again, I want to remind you that Belshazzar knew all these things that he was doing. He wasn't doing this and wondering. By the way, listen, with purpose, there are people that know about God, and unfortunately, they adamantly shake their fist at God and say, "No, no, I'm going to do it my way, and you can't stop me." Oh, yeah, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Just because he's long-suffering and merciful and not willing that any should perish, he is very patient and merciful for our repentance. But yes, he will put a stop to sin once and for all in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And what a day that's going to be. That's going to be a good thing. And I want you to see again that Belshazzar knew all these things, and yet this pride brought these bad and deadly choices. Look at verse 1 with me. "Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords." Listen, let that soak in. 1,000, that's 1,000 person party. We would be in trouble if we did that today. But listen, he was the king, and that's how some people do things, don't they? This is what you shouldn't do, but they do the opposite. And so he's having a party of 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And so this is a party, Belshazzar. "While he tasted the wine, commanded, as he's drinking this wine, he commands that they bring the gold, and notice the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. He is on purpose defying God. Listen, on purpose, he is mocking God. And by the way, there are people that are doing that today, and they think because a lightning bolt doesn't fall down from heaven and deal with them right away, that nothing will ever happen. That's not the case. Again, they don't know God, because God is not willing that any should perish. You know, I am so glad God was patient with me. Because, and by the way, listen, God's been patient with all of us, because we are all guilty of sin and we are all deserving of God's judgment. And yet the grace of God has given mercy. And listen, when you look to the world, don't get mad at them. Just realize they don't know. They think they know. They're walking in their pride. They're walking in their arrogance. But listen, we walk in the truth. And as we walk in the truth, that gives us a better boldness and assured footing on where we stand and where we will stand by the grace of God. And so we want to reach them with this, with the truth of God. And so here he is, he's carrying on. And if we're not careful, listen, we can get mad when we see people sinning. But what we ought to do really is feel sorry that they don't see the truth. And we should pray that God would open up their hearts and their eyes, spiritual eyes, to see the truth. And so this is what's taking place. Belshazzar, by the way, when it speaks here that he was the son, his father was Nebuchadnezzar, they made reference to this, and really he was the grandson. His father, as theological historians tell us, his father, and I think there's archaeological evidence for this as well, was out traveling the world. He was not one to rule the king. He's really a grandson, and that's why you'll find that he was going to be the third in the kingdom. Not the second, because he was the second. His father was the first, but he was not really a king. He really enjoyed traveling, and he was out on excursions and different things of that nature. And he was the one that was left to rule the kingdom for his father. And so this is what you find here, as you see that he was going to make him the third. He wasn't going to place him over himself. And so he was of the lineage of Nebuchadnezzar. And notice what's happening here. In verse 3, he gave the command, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and notice the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. Notice this, God did not stop their wickedness. God, listen, God is allowing sin to run its course, because the wages of sin is what? It's death. And so God is allowing, listen, God has given to you and I the freedom to make choices. You know why? Love. The love of God. We are not programmed to love the Lord. By the way, you cannot make anybody love you, but you can win their hearts. And that's what God would rather have. He would rather, let me ask you this, did God win your heart? And if he did, how did he do it? With the truth. And the truth is that God is merciful and kind and is full of grace. And so that's what wins the heart for the Lord. And that's how he wants everybody to be one. Listen, we can tell people about the judgment of God, and we should. But more important is the mercy and the grace of God, because it gives us hope. That's what we need. And so, as we take notice of this, God did not stop them, and so he allowed them to do that. Now, could God have stopped them? Absolutely. He could have, but he didn't. Listen, could God have stopped those who were going to crucify the Lord? But if he did, where would we be? We wouldn't have salvation, would we? So, and by the way, listen, just let that sink in just for a moment. We don't understand the way of God. If you were to show that to the world, in fact, didn't the world, as they were casting accusations at the Lord, he believed in God, let him deliver him now. Well, listen, what they weren't realizing is God was delivering us through his son. And so God is merciful. They didn't understand that mercy of God. So verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold. It's getting worse, isn't it? Not only did they defile the vessels of God, now they're praising the gods, lowercase g, of gold and of silver, brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Guess who made all these gods? They made them themselves, didn't they? So any god that you make is not much of a god. But yet they do that. Listen, you go into some of these restaurants, Asian restaurants, and they'll have a little notch knocked out of their front desk there. And they got a little aisle there. And there's food placed there. And they believe that's a real god. They made it with their own hands. And there's a crazy thing about that. That food never goes anywhere. It's always right there. That ought to tell you they're not real. There's something. You're making an offering and it's not being consumed. And so it's a false god. And so notice verse 5 as we consider. So that's the bad and deadly choices. And by the way, they thought that they were good choices. They're celebrating. They're being reckless. And listen, pride will cause us to think that there are no consequences. We can go ahead and do as we please. And I am convinced, listen, all this took place that we're looking at in one night. Fathom that. This wasn't months or years or weeks. A mere matter of hours. A mere matter of within 24 hours. Listen, weren't we here just last Sunday? How fast did Sunday to Sunday go? It, like lightning, wasn't it? And so it would be wise for us to consider our ways according to the Word of God. And so here's this situation. And now we find that not only will pride lead us to making bad and deadly choices, but also it will bring fear and trouble. Look at verse 5. In the same month, is that what your Bible says? In the same year, is that what your Bible says? In the same hour. Now fathom this, ready? King Belshazzar gets this brilliant idea by pride. You know those vessels that were brought into our country, into our land, that the Hebrews used for worship? We're going to use those. We're going to drink in them. And so he drank in them. And this all happened in a matter of minutes within an hour. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick. You know why? You wouldn't miss it. Listen, when God sends a message, you won't miss it. God has sent a message to the whole world, and it won't be missed. Not one soul will stand before Almighty God and say, I didn't know. I had no idea. And so he comes over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. Do you think he was happy? Do you think he was celebrating? You think he was coming up with some brilliant ideas in his mind as he was watching this hand on the wall? Or do you think something else was taking place? And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. You ever hear, they're so scared their knees were knocking. There you go. That's not something we've come up with. That's something that God penned down. He had so much fear, he felt like he had no strength to stand, and his knees were banging up against each other. And so he's experiencing something, isn't he? Listen, this also is a revelation of God. God wants to give you and I good revelations as his children that will cause us to solidify our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand on his truth. In this particular case, it's unfortunate for this king because he knew better and he rejected God. He knew all these things and still chose a path in the wrong direction. Listen, it's a shame for people to grow up in a home that is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away. Listen, it's also a shame for a professed child of God to look to human beings and make up a decision to not serve the Lord because of maybe something they saw or did not see, in the life of another believer. You know what? I'm just flesh and blood. I am not perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you. But listen, I didn't die for you. And if I did, it wouldn't mean anything. Not in the sense of shedding my blood, because my blood's marred with sin, but for the grace of God. But my God, my Savior, your Savior, died in your place and in my place. And he is the reason why I serve the Lord. And that'll keep us, listen, that'll keep us from falling. Because if we keep put our eyes on man or on our situation and circumstance, we need to be reminded that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that died for me. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't always understand why things happen. I don't always understand, but can you and I trust that God truly is working out all things for our good? And by the way, I even need God's help in that. I do. I need God's help. Lord, help me to understand when I don't understand that you are still in control. All right? So here's this fear and trouble that's coming into his life. Then the king's countenance was changed, verse 6, and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints and his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldean and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now, wait a minute. Go back to this morning. Didn't his grandfather do the same thing? But he had a different promise. "I'll give you all these things, but if you don't tell me what I want to know, you're dead." You're dead. But he's not doing that. You know why? Because in this particular case, he's guilty. Listen, and he knew all these things. And in his heart of hearts, he knew he was wrong. He could point no finger at anybody else but himself, but he wanted help in understanding. Now listen, he thought, listen how bad pride can mislead us. He thought if he understood the writing on the wall, everything would be okay. No, that was just the sealing of his fate. See, there comes a place and a point in the life of a human being, and no human being knows that, when God says, "Finished. You're done." Wow. Hey, listen, there comes a point of no return. There comes a place where you've rejected God for the very last time. And listen, where much is given, the Bible tells us, much is required. He had firsthand knowledge and firsthand wisdom from his grandfather of the mercies of God. He knew about his grandfather lifted up in pride. By the way, that's what Daniel speaks about there when you look at Daniel chapter 4. And by the way, Daniel said when he got this vision of the big tree, remember in chapter 4, he brings in Daniel and he says, "Tell me what this means." And Daniel said, "Oh, king, this be to your enemies. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't humble yourself before God, if you don't dispense with the pride, it's you, O king, that's going to be cast out for 7 years, and you're going to be like a beast of the field." And just as he said it in his own mouth, as he just said, "Is this not my kingdom? As the words which I've made with my hands," oh my goodness, the judgment fell. But it was, and listen, the mercy of God, 7 years, and he was brought back. Do you think that was taught in their history? Absolutely. Do you think that Belshazzar knew what happened to his grandfather? Absolutely. And by the way, listen, there is no doubt in my mind, as you read chapter 4 in the very beginning, that Nebuchadnezzar had a testimony of salvation and he was praising the God of heaven. In fact, if you read that, he sounds like the Apostle Paul. And the reason for that is because it was the same Holy Spirit doing a work that he was proclaiming the mercy and grace of God. So here's Belshazzar in this plight, in this situation. And notice what happens here. He makes this proclamation. Anybody can tell him, he'll make him the third ruler of the kingdom. Then came in all the kings, verse 8, wise men. The king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known the king to the king the interpretation thereof. I mean, my goodness, he's repeating history. The first astrologers couldn't do it either. They couldn't do it. The first soothsayers and the sorcerers, they could not do it. And so he's repeating the same problem here. Verse 9, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and notice this, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. So they're astonished. What's going on here? What's taking place? So he went from bad and deadly choices to fear and trouble, and now he comes to this place of a false hope of resolving this or resolution. Look at verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. So she's getting the news, and she comes into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whose is the spirit of the holy gods. Does she know the Lord? No. What God is she talking about? Is it capital G in your verse right there? In verse 11, or is it lowercase g? It's lower, little gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. So they do know about Daniel, don't they? They do know about what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. See, you can't plead ignorance when it comes to God. And then notice verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. And by the way, listen, isn't it amazing that they call him Daniel? That's his Hebrew name. Remember, he was given a new name, but now he's Daniel now. See, all of a sudden, people start getting sanctimonious and righteous when they're in trouble. And that's all right if it's not too late yet. And so, and by the way, maybe it was a witness at least to the queen. I don't know. But the queen was going to witness all this, and the judgment was falling upon her husband. And so she's saying, listen, I want you to know that this Daniel was the one who was coming with the answers, whom the king, verse 12, named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. At least she had some confidence in the right place, didn't she? And that's a good thing. But I want you to know that the king also knew who Daniel was. But this goes to prove, listen, when we give our hearts over to pride, the thoughts, where the answers are, where the truth is at, doesn't come to us. He probably said, of course, I know who Daniel is. But listen, that was not the first place he went. Because he had no faith in that. He had no assurance. He had no experience. Listen, it is important for the child of God to have experience with God. That gives us confidence. That solidifies our position on the rock of rocks. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he wants us to walk. Now listen, I want you to think about this. When Nebuchadnezzar gave gifts to Daniel, he positioned him top governor, right? And then then Daniel says, my three friends. And the King Nebuchadnezzar said, of course, positions granted. And so there is a time to receive gifts, and there is a time to not receive gifts. And we'll see that here in just a moment. I just wanted you to keep that thought in mind. And so what was important was the honor and the glory of God. One thing was for sure, that when this was happening in Nebuchadnezzar's life, God had set that all up in the life of Nebuchadnezzar to be a blessing. Listen, problems can come into our lives as they did into Daniel's life, but God has the answers for each and every one of those problems. And if we'll seek the Lord in that, he will give us the answers that will bring light and truth into our own life. Daniel was spared. His three friends were spared. The wicked sorcerers were spared. The king was blessed. And so God is glorified and everybody's happy. But Belshazzar did this with his own hands. See, listen, Nebuchadnezzar did not bring on the dream. God brought it in there to help. So this is the way God works that we don't always understand. And yet when God is in the midst of it, performing these things, God's people can have the boldness that God will provide the answer. And here's the wonderful truth. Ready? Through his people. Through his people. But if we're not walking with the Lord, he can't use us. Question. Will God use a dirty vessel? No. No. God will clean his vessels. He's the one that sanctifies them, that he might use them. We are the vessels that he wants to use. You don't have to do the work. God is going to do the work. Didn't you hear this morning, Daniel? God will give the king the interpretation. Daniel could have said, I got it, king. No. He wanted God to receive all the glory. So here's the question. If God uses your life, who do you want to get all the glory? Do you want yourself to be glorified? Or do you want to bring honor and glory to the Lord by his grace? Then you're in the right place. And God will bring it to pass. And that's his will for every believer. Doesn't it say if we're in Christ, if we've been born again, if we're a new creature, that all things have become old and new things have been brought into our life by the will of God? That's what the work of the Lord is, and that's what he wants it to be, all the way down throughout all the ages, that we would be a royal priesthood and a peculiar people, strange to the world, but we understand that it's the work of God. So with that said, let's continue on here. He's got this false hope. Verse 13, then was Daniel brought in before the king. So he says, he'll show you the interpretation. Okay, then the next thing, Daniel's brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel. Now listen, again, listen to this false hope of resolution. Here's what Belshazzar's thinking. If I'll just simply have the interpretation of what was written, everything will be okay. Did you follow that? Listen, he thinks that if he gets the interpretation of the writing on the wall, everything's going to be all right. Is that going to be the case? He is grasping for something that it is going to be his demise. Because there's a wickedness in him that is not going to change. Fathom this thought. There is a wickedness bound up in the hearts of those who are going to ultimately reject the Lord. And they are reaching for things that they think are going to give them peace and contentment and the answers, and it's going to be their demise. They are doing things, they are actively engaged in things that they think are going to bring peace into their lives, understanding and fulfillment, and all it's going to do is bring more guilt upon their heads when they stand before the King of Kings and the Judge of all creation. It's going to be the end. They think, well, look what we're doing. We're getting all the answers. We're getting the way that we want. That's the greatest evidence of a misguided individual, that we get what we are seeking for. Without God, all is vanity. So here's the situation. Ready? They bring in Daniel. And the king spake and said, verse 13, unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel? He just called for Daniel. They told him who he was. Which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard of these. It would have been funny if he said, no, king, you got the wrong guy. Of course he's the right guy. I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods. So he doesn't know. He doesn't see God as God. That the spirit of the gods is in thee. There's no repentance here, if you'll take note. And that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. This is true. He's got it all backwards. But it's coming from the Lord. And now the wise men and the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Do you see what that's what he's thinking. You're going to make all this good. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, I want you to stop here. Listen. Is the spirit of the living God in Daniel. Amen? So Daniel has, I believe, already been given a revelation of this whole outcome. Just like God gave David a revelation of what was going to happen to Goliath. It's what gave him the confidence. Listen, God has given to you and I also all the confidence we need in His Word. Amen. Now, He wants to give you and I experiential knowledge as well of the truth being fulfilled in our lives so that we can walk with boldness in the truth of God's Word. So, why did Daniel take the reward from Nebuchadnezzar? I think God moved him because he was working with Nebuchadnezzar and saw that even in his pride, there was things that were going to happen in the positive for Nebuchadnezzar, that he was going to choose the Lord. But in this case, you find something different here. Question, in the case with Nebuchadnezzar, was Daniel moved by the wealth of this world or by the glory of God? In this particular situation, is Daniel moved by the wealth of this world or for the glory of God? Listen to what he says here in verse 17. Remember, this is what the king says. You're going to have all these things and you're going to be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself." That's powerful. Keep it. This is not good for you here, king. Daniel wants nothing to do and nothing to do with the things of a man that has defied and defiled the vessels of God. That's important. He's not interested in those things. It would be good for you and I to consider what the things of this world are. And if they are in defiance, I'm not going to tell you some things specifically in my own life, but I want you to know there are places I won't go. Because, and I'm just talking about places that you can go to, but that I won't do business with, because they have openly proclaimed that their stance against God, and that's just me. That's not right, wrong. I'm not saying that anybody who doesn't hold the same position, and that's why I'm not saying specifics of why I don't patronize these people or patronize whatever you want to call it. I don't do business with them, right? Because they have openly have proclaimed something that was in defiance of God. And so I don't want any of their goods. I won't do business with them because of their position against the Lord. Now, and again, I want to reiterate, I am not saying that a child of God is wrong for doing business with these people. I'm just saying I don't need them when they proclaim. Now, I will tell you this. There are a lot of businesses that probably hold positions that I don't agree with, but they don't take it as their position and vocalize it and commercialize it. You see what I'm saying? They're not using it. They're not virtue signaling, you know, saying, "I agree with you. I condone you." That's not the case. So Daniel is doing the same thing, and he's saying, "I don't need what you have to offer. I'm going to do my part because it will glorify the Lord in sharing this truth." So watch what happens here. Ready? Look at verse 17 again. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." So he's got this false hope. And now what we find here is judgment is getting ready to fall. He thought this was all going to be better now. It's all going to be resolved. I'll be excused. I can continue in my defiance against God, and nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to be okay, and it's not. It's all going to end tonight. So what happens here? Verse 18. "O thou king, thou most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." Who gave it? Did you see that? Was Daniel saying the gods of this world? No, he said God. He was very specific. "And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in what? In pride. He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And remember, and you knew this, king. You knew this. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and notice, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. Hey, listen, that's a good truth for you and I to know. Listen, that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. Is that true today? Absolutely. Listen, a sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing about it. And notice, he that appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Who appoints kings? God does. Who appoints, by the way, who appoints political leadership? God does. We ought to honor all those in leadership position. I didn't say that you have to agree with them or that they do the right thing, but we ought to pray for them. That's our part. And have confidence that God is the one that's in control and nothing catches God off guard. So he said to Belshazzar, look at verse 22, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." You already knew all this. "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven." And by the way, all those who reject the ways of God, that's who they're ultimately standing against. "And they have been brought, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee." And thou, by the way, listen, they have brought the vessels of his house, God's house, before thee. "And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them." That was a no-no. "And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, which nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it." Wow. Did he say you're just getting started? Did he say you got a little time to go? He says you're finished. You're finished. Wow. You're finished. That's not a good statement. It's done. One day everything will be finished. And only those that are standing in Christ will be rejoicing. And so it's finished here. So what does he say? What does he say to him as he's found wanting and all this is not looking very good for him? What is he going to do? And then he says, verse 27, "Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." You're finished and you've got a deficit. "Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar. Look at this. He still's got a false hope. He's Belshazzar. Listen, the king, he's still giving orders. He's still giving commandments. You know what he's not doing? Repenting. He's not repenting. "Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom." He's going to stick to his word? That's all good and well, but I got news for you. It's not going to do it. "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans," what? "Slain." That night. In that night. Did you see that party? Same day. What a party. It completely ended his life. It's over in one night. In one night. Listen. All those that stand guilty before God one day, they will feel like it was one night. One nightmare. And God has privileged and positioned you and I to point people to the truth that they might be spared as you and I were. I don't rejoice over the judgment of King Belshazzar, I don't think Daniel was rejoicing, but he was standing for the glory of God. I don't think he was sorrowful in the sense, it's a shame that anybody would go out into eternity condemned. But his joy that made up for it was that he was standing before the Lord, being the mouthpiece, being the witness that God would have him be. Daniel was found faithful, was he not? And Daniel pointed out in all truth, and I believe in all mercy and grace, that Belshazzar, you knew all these things, and you still made your choice. And we need to be able to stand in the love of God and point people to the truth. Again, as I mentioned this morning, God sent his son to pick up fallen mankind because we've fallen. And we cannot pick ourselves up. It is the grace of God that lifts us up. It is the Spirit of our God that quickens us and makes us different. And we have to have faith that God is doing that work, and we have to present ourselves for God to do that work, that we might be the witnesses, not just in word, but in deed, because of the Spirit of Christ that makes a difference. This is the problem with pride in the lost world. But let me ask you this question very quickly, and we're finished. Is it possible that a child of God can be walking in pride? Is it possible for a child of God to walk in pride? This is pride. Ready? Listen. God can't do anything with me. That's pride. That's pride. That's not looking to God. And here's what we might say. Well, I've tried, but I can't change. That's just the way I am. Well, God saved us from that. God saved us from just the way I am, to be just the way he is. And unbelief will walk in pride and say, but God, you can't change me. Think about that. The God who can do anything can't do a thing with me. Does that sound brilliant? No, that sounds very unwise. The God who spoke everything into existence looks at me and says, no problem. If thou wilt, God can do all things. If you will. What wilt thou that I do for you? Isn't that what God says? What will you, O Lord, that you may give me my sight? That'd be a good thing to ask for spiritually. O God, that you will open up my eyes spiritually. For what? To see the truth of what you want to do and surely can do in my life. The problem with pride in the heart of a lost king, and the problem with pride in the heart of one of his children, will not glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if we'll say, oh God, I submit and present myself before you tonight, that you might have your way and will in me, God says, now we're in business. Amen. Now I can show you great and mighty things that will cause you to worship and reaffirm and establish your footing in your relationship with Christ. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and understanding that you bring. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts like never before, that we might be opened up to hearing from you. And Lord, that we might experience you in a great and powerful way that will revolutionize our relationship with you and truly enable us to be the light and the salt of the earth. May you have your will and your way with each and every one of us. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.